Amen. Hallelujah. I want to entitle this message, Are We Living in the Last Days or the End Times? A lot of things are being said. Of course, we know that we have had an earthquake in New Jersey the other day, and Pastor Judy told me, well, they had a 5-point something on the Richter scale. Yeah, and I said, I'm a California boy, that's nothing. I mean, that's just a little, you know, when you live in California, you're all shook up. Amen. I want to read you a Bible passage here, and it says this in actually Romans chapter 8, guys, and beginning in verse 18. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal to his children who his children really are. See, creation is crying. You hear all of these things happening. And the Bible says the earth is moaning, it's groaning. And you're going to hear about more things happening. There is a fault line in the mid-United States called the Madrid, and they're saying that that is a could be a catastrophic earthquake, and you're going to hear earthquakes, I mean, just up here on the video, we saw many, many things happening, and they're going to increase, and that's predicted in the Bible, and we're going to be sharing that in just a moment, but I want you to know that all creation, you know, came under the curse when Adam sinned. And you say, well, I don't know, creation. Well, the Bible says if we don't praise them, the rocks will cry out. There's something about creation. It's waiting for, the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. Hallelujah. That day when things are restored as they to normal order. Hallelujah. So it's been predicted by Jesus, you know, in Matthew 24, we'll read some of that, that there's going to be more earthquakes, there's going to be more pestilence, there's going to be more things happening as we head toward the end. Amen? And somebody said, well, the rapture is going to take place tomorrow. How many of you are looking forward to the eclipse tomorrow? I don't know. You know, the one thing about social media is that you get things from every way of thinking, every way to, you know, there are people that are exaggerating what the interpretation of the Bible that in 2017 crisscrossed the United States, the eclipse and over cities called Salem, which is peace. They were predicting peace. How many of you know 2020 was not peace? Right? Amen? And then now we say, well, there's all of these cities named Nineveh across. And that means we have 40 days to repent or else. And then right in the middle of the line is a little town called Rapture. So some of the people say, well, we're going to get raptured. Amen. On the 8th. Hallelujah. So, you know, we can take, and there's, you know, God predicted that there are going to be signs and wonders in the heavens and so on and so forth. But don't lose your mind over it. Amen. Matthew, about the rapture, let me tell you this, the second coming. It's in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. States this. And how many of you have been Christians a while and you know that the predictions of the rapture has been all along? Well, Jesus is coming back this day. Jesus is coming back that day. All right? This is what Jesus said. However, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or Jesus himself. Only the Father knows. So that puts up a red flag automatically when somebody says, well, the rapture is going to happen on the 8th during this eclipse because it's going to pass over this little town of Rapture, and glory to God. The Bible tells me he's coming in the time when you think not. That's why the Bible encourages to be awake, to be waiting, looking for his appearance. Now, I'm all for it if he comes tomorrow. Hallelujah. But maybe we just give an altar call. Make sure you're all ready. Amen. No one knows, hallelujah, not even Jesus. And he said it, and said he at the right hand of the Father. How about that, huh? Amen. So the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And we're closer to that day than ever before. We are, see, literally the last days began on that day of Pentecost. Because Peter stood up and said, quoted the book of Joel. So that puts us in the last of the last days. I mean, we were bumping up right up. And you know, look at everything that's going on. It'll especially keep your eyes on Jerusalem. And by the way, if you don't like what Israel's doing, get over it. God is blessing the nation of Israel. Hallelujah. And we in America need never forget Israel. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says the nations who bless Israel will be blessed. Hallelujah. So I won't get picky on that, but I'm just saying that we're standing with Israel, and God is a jealous God concerning his people. And really, Israel is the what we look at as far as interpretation of Bible prophecy. And listen, things are getting rough over there with the Gog and Magog war. Could be right on the threshold. Russia, Iran, all of those countries are aligning up against Israel. Is this going to be it? I don't know. Only God knows. But it just should put an alert, an alarm on our hearts who know Christ, that we need to be ready. Amen? Praise God. For such a time that we think not, then the Son of Man will be revealed. Look at Matthew chapter 24 with me. Praise the Lord. And Jesus talks about this in verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceives you." Say, "No man deceives me." And literally, as a pastor, I feel obligated to go on YouTube and look at all the different, even the men and women of God that I know and so on and so forth, to check out the eclipse thing and stuff like this, just to hear what, you know, and I mean, the spectrum is so wide, everybody. So we got to go to Scripture and interpret what God, amen, says. You have those, again, that says, boy, this is judgment day. Nineveh, all these cities, is saying it's time to repent, so we have 40 days to repent as a nation, or destruction is going to come, and so on and so forth. And so, again, we cannot be deceived. Amen? That's why we need to listen to our inner man. Hallelujah. "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars." Now, I know that I wasn't born during the Second World War or whatever, but I know, speaking to my parents, that they literally thought Hitler was going to be the Antichrist. And if any of you have watched the documentaries of World War I, World War II, and so on and so forth, it was a worldwide war. And I'm sure that people living in that time period thought, "My God, this must be, we have war going on in the Pacific, we have wars going on in Europe, every nation's involved," and so on and so forth. They must have thought it was the end of the world at that time. Think about that. It was a big deal. It was a very big deal. And we get upset about little wars that are happening here and there, but that was a worldwide war that was going on everywhere and many countries involved. And hundreds of thousands of young people, young men getting killed on every side. So it says that you'll hear wars and rumors of wars. "See that you are not troubled." See, I'm not troubled today. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All of these things are the beginning, say the beginning, of sorrows. And then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Well, we haven't had that problem here in the United States. Amen. But there are countries that, you know, if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you'll find out that many, 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 many Christians have had to lay down their life for their testimony. Amen. That's why we need to pray for this nation. Hallelujah. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness, how many of you have seen lawlessness lately? Blatant on the news, lawlessness will abound. Love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And I'm telling you that we are among the people that are going to endure to the end. Hallelujah. And I like this. And the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. Then will the end come. Then will the end come. Hallelujah. See, so we should not be ignorant of the things that are coming on the earth, not be caught up with them and everything, but we who are Spirit-filled, we should, you know, the Holy Spirit, one thing that Jesus said in the book of John, he says he will show you all things. That the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. You'll have witness in your spirit about things that are about to happen to your family. Or I know there were testimonies shared on the 700 Club many times during the 9/11 attack, the World Trade Center, that many people were warned, that were Christians, were warned not to go to work that day, or they were delayed or something, and their lives were spared. And I'm telling you, God will take care of his people. Amen? Hallelujah, he always has. But there was a tribe, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 12:32, that there was a tribe of Issachar, and with 200 leaders of the tribe and their relatives, and it says these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. Amen? So we have the Spirit of God in us. And we can know. We can know. Hallelujah, about what's happening and when it's going to happen. We don't know the day or the hour, but listen, we know that we're nearer than we've ever been before. Hallelujah, glory to God. So they were anticipating Jesus coming back even right after he left. You read about Peter. Peter was saying to the church, he says, many of you are saying, the Lord has delayed his coming, and so on and so forth. And they were getting, you know, kind of sidetracked there. And Peter said, no, don't say that, because we don't know the time that Jesus is coming back. But he is coming back. Say he is coming back. We know that because in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 9, that when Jesus ascended up into heaven, amen, he rose up in the cloud, and two white men, angels, suddenly stood among the men, the disciples, said, men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Hallelujah. Look at that. Look at Peter. Look at Jesus. How's he doing that anyway? Hallelujah. Oh, Siri. Let's see what she found. According to Christian tradition, Peter was crucified in Roman. I guess I'm going to have to turn Siri off during my messages, because she tries to interject things. But these two angels, they said to the disciples below, Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday, say someday, He will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Hallelujah. He will return the same way. The angel said, don't be amazed. Don't be in wonderment, for this same Jesus is going to come back again. And there's always been a message for the church that Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back. We don't know the day or the hour. And we are encouraged by the word of God, by the apostle Paul and Peter and John and others to be awaiting his appearance, to be excited about Jesus' coming. You know, we go through our day and probably not even think twice, but the Bible says watch and be ready. Amen? Some of you have read the story of the 10 virgins. 5 were ready and 5 weren't. Think about that. We've got to be ready at all times. Be watching and waiting. Amen? In Luke chapter 21 and verse 25, Jesus also shared this, kind of going along with Matthew chapter 24. It says, there will be strange signs in the sun, say sun, moon, and stars. And here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by a roaring seas and strange tides, tsunamis, all of these things that we see. Again, the earth is groaning. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth. For the powers in heaven will be shaken, and everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when these things begin to happen, stand and do what? And you don't have to have your eclipse glasses. Hallelujah. When you see the Son of Man coming on the cloud with power and great glory. So when these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near. Hallelujah. Salvation is near. We read the word of God. We know by hearing the news and all of with AI and all of these things. Pastor Mike has dealt with that at different times. On a Sunday night, he talked about AI being involved I was watching the other day about a robot that looked almost like human and was interacting with a human and trying to understand their feelings. And so that's weird. That's weird. Amen. But anyway, think about satellites. Satellites been around a long time now as far as we're concerned, but really it hasn't been if you look at, over a period of time. That technology has just taken off. But one thing about the book of Revelations that a lot of the early church didn't understand, that it says, how many of you know about the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah? They're going to be killed by the Antichrist in the streets of Jerusalem. And it says in the Bible that every nation will witness it at the same time. Think about that. And it was only because of satellites, imagery, and being able to see things instant, what's taking place all around the world at the same time, could this happen. So we are living in that day and time where this could happen, where when these two witnesses are killed by the Antichrist, and they're going to rise up in 3 days, and the whole world's going to see it. Amen. And, you know, think about it, 3.5 days. Everyone will witness it at the same time. How about the worldwide financial technology that's taking place? Every time you hear about banks and all the things that are happening, they're talking about a reset. They're talking about currency, that they're going to do away with the dollar. They want to go digital. You know why? Because they want to control you. They want to tell you what you can buy, when you can buy it, and keep track of everything. Think about that. You know, we just like to bless people sometimes. You know, take a $100 bill out of your pocket and just say, hey, God bless you. But when that happens, we wouldn't be able to do that. Think about that. Now, I'm praying I'm praying. We need the church needs to pray. This is not going to take place for a while. Amen? Because our prayers matter. Say, my prayers matter. But we all, you know, everything's leading up to what we call in Revelation 13, the mark of the beast. You'll have to have a mark on your head or your forehead, and you will not be able to buy or sell. But see, all of these things, they brainwash us little bit at a time. Well, we'll get the, you know, and really that's what COVID was kind of all about, because they controlled it, they shut down the churches, and I think it was preemptive to what's coming in the future. Well, we can control society, we can shut them up in their homes, we can cancel churches, we can do anything we want to if there's a worldwide epidemic. We can manipulate the whole world. Can you imagine that happening? It just wasn't our country, but it was Australia. All over the world was shut down, which affected the financial systems and everything. But you could see that taking place. And especially on a big scale, something like that happening. And the Bible talks about a man, the Antichrist, that would come up on the scene and fix everything. And the world at some point, under a great turmoil, would need somebody that would stand up and say, I have the answer. And of course, the enemy, being persuasive as he is, that the Bible said even the elect would be deceived during that time. So again, the Holy Ghost, we need to hear from the Holy Spirit. Be aware of the signs and the things. I remember several years ago, it was a big deal about all the blood moons. Remember that? And some big preachers were talking about, man, this is prophetic. This is the end of the world type of stuff, the blood moons. But we're still here. Amen? So, be careful, and I'm not saying don't listen to men of God, but yet have the spirit of Issachar that rightly discerns the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is able to tell you. Amen? But what we're looking forward to, what I don't want to say our camp is looking forward, but you know, we're non-denominational, we're Word of Faith, Pentecostal. But we believe that before all of this is going to happen, that there's going to be a great end time harvest. My wife just listened to something by Dr. Summerall. You do? You're that old? Amen. Lester Summerall. But he was living during the time of Smith Wigglesworth, who was a great man of God, great man of faith. And his last meeting with Smith Wigglesworth told him a prophecy that he'd had, a dream about the end time revival. That hospitals would be emptied out. The power of God, hallelujah. And Jesus even predicted that. He said this in Matthew 24:14, the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Hallelujah. That, what is our mandate? To get the gospel out to all of the world. In 1970, there was estimated 1.2 billion Christians on the earth. 2017, 2.6 billion Christians. And as this day, 2024, there's now about 4 billion Christians in the earth. Hallelujah. Jesus is still on the move. The Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So what do we need to spend our time on besides waiting and looking? But see, the Bible says to occupy. Well, I'm just going to go and get off the grid. You ever know anybody saying that? I'm going to get off the grid. I'm going to go up to New Hampshire, take a tent, hide in the mountain somewhere. Jesus said to occupy, not wait around, right? Occupy. In other words, to do the will. That was Jesus' mission. Jesus, what do you call to do? To do the will of my Father. And we know the will of the Father is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So there is global evangelism taking place right now. I know Rodney Howard Brown is over in Africa, different places over there right now, preaching the gospel. We need to Mark Hankins is getting the word of God translated in different languages. And see, we need to support, and we do as a church, support these ministries and be involved not only internationally, but locally. We need an evangelistic push here at Living Word. Now, last week we filled this sanctuary up 3 times. Packed out. We had total almost 600 people visit us last weekend. Hallelujah. But see, we're not only told to win the lost, but we're told to make disciples. That means they should be in church today. Well, how does that look? I don't know what that looks like, but we've got to find out. We've got to seek the Lord and find out, God, how can we, you know, and street witnessing, all of these things, but yet we still, the Bible says we've got to make disciples. It's one thing to preach and hand out tracts, and that's wonderful, but somehow we've got to disciple people, just like you all are discipled. Amen. You're hungry for God. You come out to church. How many of you are in Bible school? Raise your hand. And I encourage you to get, we have a great Bible school that'll get you more hungry for the Word of God. Amen. We'll be pushing that before long. We'll be ending our fifth year, right? This coming year. Yeah, we graduated our fourth year students last year. Time goes by fast when you're having fun. Amen. But make disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. And then the end will come. Just a couple end scriptures I want to share with you today. What is the blessed hope? We're not to be fearful. Personally, I don't believe we're going to be going through the tribulation. There are those that believe that they're going to go through the tribulation. And I say, well, you can catch up later. Amen. If you want to go through the tribulation, you can tribulate. But the Bible tells us we're not appointed to wrath. And the last 3.5 years is God's wrath being poured out upon the earth of those 7-year tribulation. Hallelujah. But I want to read a couple of scriptures in Thessalonians, which will excite us because, again, we are to look forward to Jesus coming back. The Apostle Paul said this, I'll tell you this directly from the Lord. Oh, well, that's powerful right there. He got download from heaven. We who are still living when the Lord returns, hallelujah, will not meet him ahead of those who have died. My mom and dad's going to beat me. Think about that. Wow. The graves are going to open. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Amen. Hallelujah. So encourage each other with these words. encourage. They use the word in the Greek, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. In the 70s, there were some powerful films that were produced, Thief in the Night, Distant Thunder. And I remember that there was a push, there was an excitement. Of course, 1968 was a six-day war when Israel took Jerusalem, and it was on the hearts of the people. In fact, the church believed that Jesus was coming at any time after that took place. But they had these films out, and people flocked to the churches. I remember renting, that was before all the technology that we have now. We went to the high school. How many of those were the big old projectors that we used to have, right? So we'd rent these big tapes of this movie, and we would show them in church. And people would run down to the altar because, you know, Thief of the Night, he's going to come. And they portrayed the Antichrist and people getting their heads caught off. And it was a reality. And we would honestly believe, we'd have a saying, I've said this before, that when we left church, we said, we'll meet you here, there, or in the air. Amen? So that was on our mind. We'll meet you here, there, or in the air. And everything was about Jesus coming soon, morning, night, or noon. Trumpets, I mean, we'll hear their sound. Trumpets will sound. Praise God. So we were ready. Hallelujah. Praise God. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, last portion of Scripture. Now concerning how and when all of this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord will return and will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall upon them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin. And there will be no escape. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. Amen? Hallelujah. And then down in verse 5, it says, stay alert and be clear-headed. Amen? Because we're on guard, and we need to know the times and the seasons. How many of you are excited about Jesus coming? Enjoy the eclipse tomorrow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We've got to be ready. We've got to be ready. Watching and waiting. Amen. Because we are living in the last days, and you know, sometimes you think about all of the junk that's going on in the world, about, and it's prophesied in the Bible, lawlessness, and men will be evil and haters of one another, and all of the, we see this. It's terrible what's happening. But we as a church, this is our time to shine. It's our time to shine. We are to reflect the image and the glory of God. So let your light shine among men, the Bible says. Don't put it under and cover it up. Amen. Be the salt of the earth. Hallelujah. And I think for many years, the church lost its saltiness. But now it's coming back. We're getting it back. Amen. And there's an urgency in many denominations to get the gospel out, to make disciples. And we don't know the full picture of it, but I know that we here at Living Word, we have a mandate to reach the world. And honestly, in our natural minds, we don't know what that looks like. Every generation changes. Everything, you know, what would work back then might be different. But thing is, God will show us how to reach the harvest. Hallelujah. We know that we can fill the building up at Easter and Christmas, amen, with the drama and different things like that. But we got to make disciples. We got to bring them in. Maybe we just got to tie them up, handcuff them, lay hands on them. I don't know. Praise God. Lock those doors. We're going to get you saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. It's coming. Amen. Many of you have seen it and felt it in the spirit. It's coming. You just don't know what it is, but there's an inner excitement on the inside of you. Kind of like an explosive thing that's happening. Praise the Lord. I want you to bow your head. Praise God. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to be ready. Amen? Ready, because he is coming as a thief in the night. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. But I do know this. You've got to be born again. That is your ticket. Amen? When the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise first, if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, you will be left behind, and you will not want to be left behind on this earth during these things that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 24, because great judgment is coming upon the world. But right now, we're in what we call the time of grace. Time of grace. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. So I want you to pray this prayer with me today. If you have never received Christ, if you've never said what we call the sinner's prayer, I'm going to lead you in it. We're all going to say it. And the Bible says, you believe in your heart that Jesus went to the cross, died for your sins, and you make confession of him. You confess him as the Lord of your life and your Savior, you'll be saved. So let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, I come before you as a sinner, and I repent of my sins. And Heavenly Father, thank you that you love me so much that you sent your only Son to die in my place. Now, dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. And I thank you in Jesus' name that from this moment on, I'm born again and I'm on my way to heaven. Amen.